know, of course, we've been celebrating Easter all morning here on the Jackie Jett Show, starting with the sunrise ham and Jesus Easter omelet at Denny's, where all the Jewish waiters were forced to serve us Gentiles all the ham we could possibly consume.
But Easter, over my hammy.
Easter is more than just that, and here to explain it is our resident in-house Jackie Jett spiritual advisor from the Landover Baptist Church, Brother Harry Hardwick. Happy Easter to you, Harry.
And happy Easter to you, Jack. Glad to be witnessing to your flock on this holiest of days.
And I think my flock is in need of some heavy-duty witnessing today. You know, we've had Dennis from the Bunny Ranch and runs a house of prostitution. We had someone on representing Good Christian Bitches. And we had Joe the Plumber on. So maybe, you know, I know that this is the most, truly the most special of all special days, but why?
Well, this is the day we celebrate God the Father murdering his only son, albeit by proxy.
All right.
And Jesus, who became a decaying zombie, getting fed up after being dead for 3 days, dusting himself off, leaving his undoubtedly smelly cave, and floating off like an untethered balloon to the right hand of the man who sent him to be brutally killed. For some reason, this act of filicide was necessary to prevent each of us from burning in hell. And while the whole series of events sort of smacks of a little bit of drama gone awry,
yes, it does,
you have to remember that whether it be a heifer, a lamb, a ram, or his own child, God has always really been into killing as a way to atone for sins.
Right.
Look, it's not for us to judge how an invisible deity gets his jollies.
No. But here's the thing. Help me better understand, you know, my Easter basket. After the Lord, or ill to the Ord, as my rat friends might call him, was murdered, he ended up in a cave. How did he get in the cave?
Well, that's where they buried him. Putting him in a cave was free.
Uh-huh.
A burial plot would have cost some money there, especially with a headstone. Remember that it was the Jews who murdered Jesus. If you don't take my word for it, just ask Mel Gibson.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
It's hard enough to get Jews to spend money on the people they love, let alone the ones they view with disdain, like ragheads, Germans, and Jesus.
I can see that. And caves are so cheap, and probably even back then were even cheaper.
Undoubtedly.
But how did... There must have been some steroid-induced muscle man who placed a huge rock in front of the cave. Do Easter eggs now, do the Easter eggs represent that rock?
Well, I don't know where you got that from. I guess things like that are expected from the unchurched. Easter eggs represent the giant, hairy, red testicles of Lucifer himself.
Oh!
Now, I'll admit that some are painted in the pastel colors of the homosexual rainbow flag, but the symbolism is the same nonetheless. There's some liberal Christians who will tell you that the eggs symbolize new life, but that's all a load of pagan hooey. As Baptists, we don't mix and match pagan traditions with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not skirt-wearing, ring-kissing, genuflecting Catholics around here, Jack.
You know, I must add, Brother Harry and Jack, to your point here, there is a book. If you go to Landover Baptist, they have, it's landoverbaptist.org.com, they've got them all. They have a site very similar to Amazon. It's landoverbaptizon.com, and there is a book out called Are Your Children Playing with Lucifer's Testicles? The Truth About Easter Eggs.
Well, there you go. I mean, I think that, I didn't know. That's a book I need to put on my list to read. Help me understand why adults hiding candy from children is respectful to Jesus coming out of a cave.
Well, it's not, Jack. It's just like that Santa Claus thing where Santa Claus brings children presents, and every child who accepts a present from Santa Claus is a child who's rejecting the Lord. And the same is true here. We can't turn the death and rather quick resurrection of our Savior into just a giant chocolate orgy fest. But that's what people have done.
So when Jesus finally came out of the cave, what was the first thing he did?
Well, my guess is that he gorged himself on honey-baked ham, which has always been an Easter tradition.
Right.
I mean, you have to remember, he hadn't eaten in days. Plus, he'd just been through the ordeal of being crucified, which I have been told is the cardiovascular equivalent of 5 consecutive step aerobics classes. Just imagine the appetite you'd work up.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I know what you're thinking. Jesus was a Jew, so he wouldn't have eaten ham.
Right.
But once he resurrected himself, he became the world's first Christian, meaning no food was off limits no more.
Well, that might have been one of the reasons he subjected himself, or his dad subjected himself to all this.
Anybody who's enjoyed the taste of bacon knows that there's a lot of sacrifices you'd make for it.
Uh-huh. How did the Easter Bunny come into play? What part of this scenario does my bunny play?
The Easter Bunny has no role at all to play unless you're a pagan or a Satanist.
Uh-huh.
And pardon the redundancy there.
Right.
The Easter Bunny represents the same promiscuity that the eggs represent. Everyone knows that rabbits go at it so much they make Paris Hilton look like a nun. Letting children believe in an Easter Bunny is equivalent to idol worship and paganism. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Not some giant rabbit that goes around hiding chicken ova in people's backyards.
It doesn't, yeah, it never made any sense to me. Now, are all rabbits blessed, or just the human that we know as plushies who dress up like them?
Well, it's no rabbits blessed. Rabbits are a sign of rampant promiscuity, but it's even worse sin to dress people up as bunny rabbits. We actually commissioned some creation scientists at Landover to study the effect of introducing a boy to a bunny rabbit costume is, and it's essentially equivalent to just pushing him through the gates of Sodom.
Mm.
All you have to do is watch that old Christmas Story movie to see what happened to that poor little Ralphie. Mom dressed him up in a furry bunny rabbit suit, and the boy becomes sissified, and is to this day.
Mm.
Well, and I see here on your site you have... talking about what good rabbits are, they are good for Easter Bunny stew.
Well, you know, what we do at Landover every Easter weekend, really the days before Easter, at the local elementary school, is we actually hard-boil eggs just like the secular folks do. But we give them to the kids and release them in the Central Park of Freehold, Iowa, where Old Man Tucker from his ranch has already released 50 bunny rabbits. And the children hurl them eggs at the rabbits to teach them early on to fight sin and paganism until all the rabbits are dead. And because the eggs are pretty malleable, the kids get in quite a few good hits. And then we take all the pelts of the rabbits, we make a giant stew, and we take it over to the local synagogue. And we've been telling them for years that it's beef stew, and they've said it's the tastiest beef stew they've ever had. So it makes the whole event fun for the family.
Well, and this recipe just looks amazing. In fact, one of the ingredients in here, besides every traditional Easter recipe, has to have Campbell's Fiesta Nacho Cheese Soup. But this recipe also calls for a can of Red Bull and 4 cans of Budweiser or other premium beer. Don't let the pastor see you buy this. And don't worry, the booze evaporates in the heat. And then you have some Kraft macaroni and cheese in there and Hellman's mayonnaise. This sounds delicious.
You're just making my mouth water right now.
Absolutely.
That does sound good. Well, you know, you talked about a honey-baked ham earlier. Is a honey-baked ham more spiritual than, say, like a canned ham from the supermarket?
It really makes no difference, so long as it's made from pork. You see, we eat the ham on Easter to symbolize the end of those harsh Jewish dietary restrictions.
Okay.
I mean, let's face it, Jewish food is beyond dreadful. When thinking of the world's great restaurants, Tel Aviv doesn't exactly spring to mind. So as long as you eat something that used to be considered unclean, you're doing okay. A nice shrimp salad would be a good substitute, frankly.
Right. What about Good Friday? What's so good about Good Friday, or why do we call it Good Friday?
Well, Good Friday is really the most important day of the holiday for at least a couple reasons. First, it's the day the Lord picked for his son to be murdered. Well, maybe murdered isn't the right word, because after all, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all the same, so really it was more like suicide. But in any event, it was that killing that cleansed us of all our sins. And equally importantly, what would be the point of having a holiday if we don't get at least one day off work for it?
Oh, That's so true.
That is a great observation. Mm. I never even thought of it that way.
Mm. Now, what's House Betty Bowers doing, and what's she doing on this special day?
I saw Mrs. Bowers just this morning in church. She flew into Freehold on her Gulfstream Ministry jet. She flew out pretty quickly afterwards, probably to her manse in Atlanta. Ms. Bowers doesn't stay in Iowa very long. We have box seats in the church right next to the Bowers box, and
wow.
Betty looks lovely as always.
I'm kind of impressed with you, Harry, that you're that close to the world's greatest Christian. I guess my question would be, does that mean when you get to heaven, you're going to have a much cooler mansion than like me?
Well, I can't imagine there won't be a VIC section of heaven, very important Christian section of heaven, and there obviously is going to be some class distinctions. I mean, heaven certainly wouldn't live up to all it's been said to be if there weren't at least some people to serve up there.
Right.
Well, also, I want to direct everybody to this before we go into commercial break here, that the website is landoverbaptist.org or landoverbaptist.com. Don't put the church part in there because it'll take you someplace else. And then there's some great stuff out there. Have a peek at what the Lord Jesus is currently reading. There's a What Would Betty Do? And Welcome to Jesus Land. You must read that. That is a must for anybody's New Year reading. And so we've got more here with Brother Harry
Hardwick. We'll be right back with Brother Harry, but do check out the website because Betty has some great advice for how to live your life from day to day. We'll be right back with more of the Jackie Jett Show right after this. No one can scream like a Christian, can they?
Mm-mm.
A Christian singer knows how to scream.
Sounds like they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Well, they were. I think it's more than the Holy Spirit. I think they were filled with a lot of Spirit. I want to read you something, Brother Harry, that came to me, and I assume that it must be a scripture from the Bible. As you know, I'm merely a St. James novice, so bear with me. And maybe you can tell me how this fits in with the whole Easter extravaganza. Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity, Easter is on its way.
Oh my, what in the tarnation was that? It ain't in my Bible.
It's not?
It sounds like a poem written by some sodomite. Hopping down bunny trails, hippity-hoppity, and that name, first of all, the name Peter, I don't need to get into that too much, and the last name Cottontail, Peter with Cottontail, it's just despicable. I can't even imagine the connotations of that, but
maybe someone slipped it to me out of the wrong book.
Or maybe it's from that Apocrypha thing, but not the New or Old Testaments.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that. I just didn't know. You know, what are some of your sermons? We're just looking here. What are we seeing there, John, at Landover Baptist Church?
Well, if you go to landoverbaptist.org or landoverbaptist.com, there's a whole wonderful selection of things. There's free news, there's ministries, beliefs, staffs, and sermons, and Brother Harry has quite a few out here.
What is Brother Harry's most recent sermon?
Well, I just got back witnessing to the American Atheists at their convention in Atlanta. Just to throw it in the face of all us Christians, they have their annual convention every year on Easter weekend, and I lectured to them, and I think I saved at least one or two, which, you know, that's a good job when you're dealing with people like that.
I bet half of them in that room were homosexuals.
Oh, my God, there were homosexuals there, Democrats, there were feminists and bull dykes, pardon the redundancy there. It really was just a group of pagans and just all kinds of depraved.
I would have been surprised
people.
If you wouldn't have seen that MSNBC co-host Rachel Maddow there.
I felt like I might as well have been standing in front of the audience in a skirt at a Catholic mass.
I bet you felt like you needed a shower after preaching to them.
Oh, no question about it.
Do you think in any way that Jesus might get offended when we can purchase an Easter basket on Monday for half off at our local Eckerd's?
Well, you know, there you go again. That's really back to that collecting eggs thing again.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you need to spend all your money on Easter tithing to your local Baptist church, so you don't have any money on Monday to spend on these pagan rituals. I think we should leave the baskets for little girls and Nancy boys to use to collect flowers, but not for anything Easter-oriented.
Okay. Well, then let's get back to some of your sermons. What is the sermon that we have up there, John, that I'm looking at?
It looks like a new Brother Harry shares his biblical knowledge.
And then there was also one about, let me just look at something here. I wanted to see, didn't you do something recently on how to not let your children be sissies?
Well, yes, you know, we have a number of helpful hints to start your boys on the road to manhood as opposed to becoming sissified. One, I'll just give you a couple of them, Jack.
Okay.
One is, you make sure that your son uses the urinal in the bathroom. Creation scientists have discovered through extensive research that a man only goes poopy in the bathroom about one out of every four times, which means that you should be standing at the urinal three-fourths of the time. Now, the homosexuals will sit down every time so that they can practice squatting to limber up their cheeks to take on even the most enormous penises, even the colored ones. But your son doesn't need to do that. He should stand at the urinal and keep his mouth shut, especially in response to any coy whispers from a Catholic priest in the next stall.
Right.
Oh, yes.
The second thing you should do is make sure your son cleans his plate.
Mm-hmm.
Real men don't pick at their food. But now, if your son is pestering you for stuff like corn on the cob and hot dogs and smoked sausages, you need to change his diet. Try serving foods that will more effectively evoke the fragrant delights of the female genitalia. An artichoke stuffed with tuna fish will usually do the trick.
Oh, yes, it will.
Yeah, I can see that. I can almost smell that. You know, I was watching the other day, other night I saw Joel Osteen and his wife. And I've always thought that not only is he filled with the Spirit of Jesus, he seems to have a bit of Mary in him as well. Would that make him doubly blessed?
No, being a Nelly certainly doesn't make someone blessed. But you really can't blame Joel too much for being more effeminate than Clay Aiken doing pliés at a bathhouse. That man has clearly been whipped into submission by Victoria, his wife. She whips him more than a Continental Airlines stewardess. I'm just glad that woman stands by his side, though, after every service, so people don't assume the worst.
Right.
That is true.
It's also hard to be manly when you don't stand for anything. You know, in their zeal to build a church second in size only to Landover, Joel takes no position on any social issue at all, so he doesn't offend anybody. This I'm okay, you're okay philosophy may sell lots of books at rural Walmarts, but it doesn't find any basis in the Bible.
Yeah, so you don't think he's going to end up in a good mansion in heaven?
Well, the man was on Larry King and refused to acknowledge that either atheists or abortionists were going to hell, so I suspect that there's a special place in hell reserved for him where he will be sodomized daily by red demons with giant purple penises.
Oh, you are so right. And Brother Harry, something tells me that he uses the bathroom all the time sitting down.
I bet he squats all the time.
Brother Harry, it has been an absolute pleasure. We are coming to the end of our show. To learn more about Brother Harry, go to landoverbaptist.org or landoverbaptist.com and have a happy, happy Easter or a happy Passover.
And thank you so much for letting me in on some of these Easter secrets. I didn't know. I've learned. Thank you so much, Brother Harry.
My pleasure as always. Remember, turn or burn.
Turn or burn, and happy Easter, everyone. We'll be back next week. Take care.